Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
Now, the reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. And sitting in and producing this morning for Jace is Ben Gary. And our sponsors today, the Belleville Meat Market, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, weather. That front finally blew in sometime during the night while I was trying to get some kind of sleep. But right now on the island down in Galveston, it's 57 degrees. And today's forecast is going to be windy, cloudy skies. They'll become partly cloudy this afternoon with a high around 60. Winds will be north-northwest, 20 to 30 miles per hour with higher wind gusts possible. I don't think it'll be as bad as that last front, but tonight partly cloudy, gusty winds during the evening, low around 50, north-northwest winds 20 to 30, and for tomorrow mainly sunny with a high of 66, north-northwest winds will be shifting to the west-southwest at 10 to 20. That's kind of weird behind the front, getting it moving more west with no east in it. That's definitely different. Something different for us. And looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have two of them. We have a low coming up at 7:53 a.m. It's a negative 0.4. Then we have a high at 4:54 p.m., a 1.3. And 7:35 a.m. will be sunrise this morning, 7:24 p.m. sunset. And our moon phase is 71%. And looking around the complex, it's pretty breezy. We've got it gusting up to about 24 at the North Jetty. Down by the pass, looks like 23 maybe, 22. And then on into the complex, Eagle Point showing 18, and up at Morgan's Point, we're showing 18 to 22. And over around Anahuac, 19, the old rollover site, northwest at 22. So quite breezy this morning. All right, well, let's go to the Hammer and check in with him this morning in the Tri-Bay area. Christmas chocolate, bass drop, all that. Well, we could call it quad if you count Drum Bay. Hammer, what's up? Good morning.
Good morning, Captain Mickey. Quad Bay, yes, sir. You could call it that.
The Quad Bay area.
The Quad Bay. Every once in a while I'll venture over to Chocolate, but normally I don't have to. I stay right close to home. Get a lot of fishing done between here and San Luis Pass. Used to fish strictly the jetties and the beachfront, And I got a little too old for that. So, not for the jetty fishing, though, but no. Captain Mitkip finished up my yard work on Friday because it was an absolutely gorgeous day to be, get out there and do something. And I knew the front was coming, and I was scared that we were going to get some rain out of that, and I'm glad we didn't. But it blew through.
I got a little bit. I don't know how much. I didn't hear any thunder or anything while I was sleeping, but I got up. It was wet around the house, so it didn't seem to be much.
Well, that boogaroo blew through at 9 p.m. last night. When it hit Surfside, right. I mean, a wall of wind hit us, and I'm showing 25 miles an hour right now northwest.
Yeah,
it had 55 degrees down here in Surfside this morning. But
yep.
Oh man, I could hear it blowing through the night. And anyway, I got this little bird, pigeon that's got a broke wing, and I'm trying to get it to a rehabber, maybe.
You and them darn birds.
Yeah, bird man, Alcatraz.
Yeah, the highline heron, and now this wing.
Yeah.
Pigeon.
Every once in a while, they just kind of seek refuge around here, I guess. But anyway, yesterday was pretty good, Captain Mickey. The bite was all right. I had a buddy of mine from Southwest Houston come down, and his name's Steve. And we made a trip. We didn't get out on the water till probably 10:30.
Yeah.
And fish till like 2:30, maybe 3 o'clock. That tide was really coming in good, man.
Yeah, I bet it was.
When we got out of there, it started coming in, you know, but everywhere we stopped was a little bit of something, small fish, trout, small. I ain't seen no small flounder or any kind of flounder, but anyway, we had a small trout and small reds, and we were using live shrimp, and he requested it, so I had to get up yesterday and reserve the bait for him and go pick it up. A little bit of a hassle, but his girlfriend and a good fisherman, and anyway, he had a big time. I just sat back and watched him. I threw a plastic worm, and on the first cast, caught a 17-inch trout. Let it go. He ended up with he kept 3 trout, but they were nothing to write home about. 17-inchers, and they had some shoulders on them. But if a small fish like that could have shoulders, but they were decent. They were healthy. Nothing in their gut sack, but the fish were real healthy. As a matter of fact, out of those 3 fish, 2 of them were males. And the female, well, was little tiny sacks of eggs, tiny, tiny. So they're nowhere near that. Anyway, we just went from spot to spot and found the fish were on the edge of the channel, but up on the flat. I mean, they wasn't.
Yeah,
at the
how
channel.
Deep was it? You think on the flat about 3 feet?
Not even. No,
not even that much. Probably, yeah, so they were fairly.
No, up there where I was, and at the shape of our tides is low, probably 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little more than a foot and a half. Probably 2 feet though, because we were pushing a foot and a half under the cork.
Right.
And we'd throw it way up on the flat, and before it ever got to the edge of the channel, you'd already have a bite. It would be a small red or small trout or.
Right.
Whatever, but I said, Steve, we can move anytime. We don't have to put a mailbox up here. And he wouldn't let me leave. I kept wanting to go to another spot.
Put a mailbox up.
Oh, yeah. I said, by the way, what's your address going to be here? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, we might as well put up a mailbox here. I mean, come on, let's move on. And you know what? I kept saying, let's go to this spot. Let's go to this spot. And the spot I wanted to go to is where the fish were. Son of a gun, he ended up getting his limit right there in one stop. But we did move around the bay, and water was decent. I was getting somewhere in the mid-60 water temperature, or even over here
right.
In the mid-60s, and I imagine it's going to drop down after today and tomorrow again, but up and down. Anyway, moving around, and I seen lots of boat traffic, lots of kayaks out yesterday.
A lot of fishermen yesterday. That's good.
Yes, sir. They were enjoying it. Well, it is.
It's bad for the trout, you know, a lot of pressure, but hey, that's good. Everybody's getting out anyway.
No, from what I see is lots of, we have just dink after dink. I mean, lots of small fish. But yeah. The small fish will get decent fish. And I'm just glad to see the population with the way the winter was and the little breezes we had. And I'm just, thank goodness that it wasn't worse than what it was. I still hadn't heard a report down south of us how bad it was or whatever, but hopefully it wasn't a bad fish kill down there.
I don't think so. We'd have seen something on it.
Well,
I know some back lake areas, you know, where fish get trapped in there in that real shallow water. They took it on the chin, but for the most part, I think everything came out okay. How are you hooking your shrimp on under that popping cork? Through the horn? Underneath the horn?
Yes, sir. Way up away from the brain, because if you let somebody else hook it, they'll
stick it right through that black spot every time and kill it.
Right through the black spot. And I'm going, nope, go as far as you can off of that forehead where that little horn comes off of his forehead, get you about a 16th or an eighth of an inch under that bone. And they say live much better than hooking them right through the brain.
You seen that new hook contraption where you can hook a live shrimp on without having to put the hook in the shrimp? It fits around his horn and cinches down. Yeah. That's fine if those shrimp are good and hard shelled and all that, and you can cast it and keep it on the hook. But
you bet.
If they're somewhat soft, that horn's going to come straight off, and you're just going to sling a shrimp out there for chum with a bare hook.
Well, the fish of the day was a 21.5-incher. I caught it, took a quick snapshot, and back in the water she went. And she was a healthy little booger. For 21.5 inches, this was one fat trout.
Yeah.
So it's good to see that they are eating something, even if it's green bile off the green moss or something off the bottom of the. But I mean, absolutely nothing in their gut sack. So let's see. This week I got a trip.
Stomach.
Stomach. There you go. Okay.
Gut sack. Well,
anyway, my neighbors went out and they had one keeper black drum and that was it. And they fished pretty hard. He had four guys with him, and I know they fish hard, and everybody had a great time. They stayed out all day.
Man.
They didn't get on the water till about 9 o'clock. We got.
Did
on
y'all
the water
have fog yesterday morning?
30, I think. But anyway, it was all in all a pretty good day. Started looking good. Like I said, that water temperature started coming back up. I think you could have caught them on. You could if we would have just went out and thrown soft plastics. I think you would have did just fine yesterday.
Oh yeah.
But whenever there's bait on the boat. It just kind of messes me up with that plastic. It just.
Well, if you're going to buy it, you might as well use it.
Yeah. I had a bunch left over, too.
That's the good thing about soft plastics. They won't die on you. They're already dead.
I know it. And I got sacks and sacks and sacks of them, buddy. So much, you could confuse yourself with so many worms, but I'll pick out a color. And like yesterday, what I caught that fish on was a roach. Black on the back and tequila gold on the bottom of it. A Norton sandeel, little pointed Norton sandeel with a chartreuse tail. But I usually do straight black with a chartreuse or just anything dark, some kind of roach color. I love the roach colors down here in this area where the bay water is always off color or a little darker. But I've always done better on the darker salt plastics down here, and
yeah.
So I look forward to it this week. I got a trip coming up on Thursday or Friday, some spring breakers. The father wants to bring his boys down. They're going to be in for spring break, and so it looks like I get a little fishing trip on Thursday or Friday, maybe even before then, if the weather straightens up.
Yeah, it looks like a decent week. I think we have another northwesterly coming in around Saturday or Sunday next weekend. But south winds all week.
So that made the darn groundhog was right again. There was six more weeks of bad weather. But then a buddy said he sees his shadow every year or whatever. They tell us the same thing every year.
Yeah, it's
once you're holding bait, if you're coming down, come down early. Get on in here and get you some, but they'll be sold out around 10 o'clock. Maybe not. There's not that much business down right now with the weather the way it is and stuff. But anyway, I would advise you to get to the bait camps before 9 o'clock, before 10 o'clock anyway. So
all right, buddy.
See how that goes.
Cool deal,
boss.
Man. That's how you like this early morning schedule right now.
I guess we lost an hour of sleep, didn't we?
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, I set my alarm for a quarter to two.
I'm trying to figure, are we gaining? Or are we going to gain an hour? Are we going to lose an hour? And I feel like we lost an hour.
Yeah, I got up at a quarter to two and was making coffee, and everything switched to 3 o'clock. I said, man, I lost an hour.
Oh, man.
I said, what happened?
That's what I was scared was going to happen to me. Sure as the world, I'm going to miss Captain Mickey in the morning. My alarm ain't going to go off. Need to set my phone. All the clocks except for one of them reset itself, so that's a cool deal.
Cool deal. Well, hey, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to call you and come down to the Tri-Bay area, Glenn.
Yes, sir. They can always reach me at 713-208-0683. Thanks, Captain Mickey. Happy fun Sunday, buddy.
All right. You too, man. Have a good day. See you, Glenn. All right. That's the hammer down in the Tri-Bay area.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 418 here in the Bayou City. Very early Bayou City this morning. Springing forward. The future looks bright. All right. Let's run down to Freeport and check in with Captain Jeff Naylor and check his pulse this morning. You got a pulse this morning, Jeff?
Yeah, I got a pulse this morning, Mickey.
Just barely?
Just barely, that's right, yeah. I'm actually, you know, ironically, I'm kind of happy that I woke up a little earlier. I went down there, been working on the dock, and went down there and had my bay boat kind of positioned and to help me out a little bit. And when I went down, woke up, looked out, the tide had gone out so much, the bay boat's almost sitting on the bottom. So I got to pull it out and get it out of the way. But man, I forgot all about the cold front coming through yesterday. It was pretty beautiful working weather anyways.
Yeah, when I went to bed, a little earlier than I normally do because of the time change, and it was foggy. Oh my goodness, we were socked in. It was terrible visibility.
Yeah. Same thing here, man.
This norther blew it all out of here.
Yeah, I mean, good deal too, because I tell you what, man, that foggy days make everything nasty and wet.
Yeah.
You know, so on and so forth. But yeah, it doesn't make for great fishing weather, as everybody knows. I mean, it is what it is. Man, we've been fishing hard in the lights the last couple days or nights, excuse me, here up in the old river. And I mean, a few redfish, but not much else. I mean, it's been pretty bleak.
That's strange, isn't it? Usually, man, it's time of year to catch trout under those lights.
No kidding. I mean, especially back up here in the old harbor and stuff like that.
Right.
This whole year's been odd, though. It's lots of big fish in here. Lots of bait fish, very little trout and redfish. They kind of come and go in spurts, you know, but hadn't seen much this year. And, I think it was last year, Casey and I were fishing about this time of the year. Pretty much we'd do the show and then we'd go out and fish for a little while. And
right.
I mean, it was some of the best trout fishing I've had in pretty much ever. I mean, it was just lights out fishing for – you know, at least a few weeks, but doesn't seem it hadn't turned on for us yet. But we're sitting here waiting and pause. But, you know, Megan and I, we talked about doing the World Cup this year in Cape Verde, South Africa. Unfortunately, we didn't get to get a spot or a boat, spot on a boat.
Right.
So we did. We went ahead and booked. We're going to go down in August and just fish with a guy named Marty Bates. We'll famous guy down there. So we booked all of our tickets and everything yesterday, and then we're strapped in, ready to go to South Africa in August for awesome. Grander Marlin. Yeah, yeah. We're super excited about that. We haven't, we've never been to, you know, another continent anyways, fish for blue marlin, so
right,
kind of see how that goes.
That'll be cool.
Yeah, you know, as it turns out, the World Cup is very, very tough to get a boat, secure a boat for, you know, just so prestigious and you know, so much money involved, but I don't know, man. It's kind of in tune with what we're going to be doing for the rest of the year. It looks like we're backing off of the majority of our charters this year. We're going to do really just focus on marlin fishing and bill fishing in general. So we've talked about it the last few years, but this year we're officially doing it. So
going all in.
All in, man. It's really the fishing seasons and the limits and everything for snapper, I think, are going to start getting smaller and smaller. It's going to get tougher and tougher for at least a few years. So I'm thinking and hoping that maybe this is kind of a better play, you know, for the future of our fishing and maybe, you know, year-round type fishing. So we'll see. We'll see how that pans out. We're kind of excited, actually.
Yeah, when do they pull the hammer on releasing snapper season? It's early yet. They usually wait till the last minute, huh?
Yeah. I've seen some Louisiana state season was opened up, but yeah, I mean, historically over here in Texas, probably the middle of May sometime, you know, they're terrible.
Yeah, well,
historically speaking, they're not very good at releasing it in time. But we'll see. Yeah, so like I said, though, before the biologists and some of the studies they're doing, they were basically saying that.
What are you out in the wind?
Yeah, man, I'm trying to chase the dog down. Sorry about that.
You're trying to what?
Chase the dog down. He escaped when I got out, and I just... sitting up here talking to you, and I notice he's out in the yard running. That's a bad deal. Get your butt inside.
Well, you needed to take care of business.
Right. Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's a little silver lab pup y'all got?
Yeah, yeah.
I bet he's pretty big now, growing up.
Man, they do grow so fast. He's 6 months now, and he's... I think he's 55 pounds or something like that.
Oh, yeah. And he's in his terrible twos right now.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Lord.
Eating everything. Yeah, teething. Still trying to get rid of his baby teeth. He's got just a couple left. Yeah, he's ruthless. It's been crazy. But, you know.
Dogs.
Old Casey. Casey has a really good trainer, and he has a female dog, so we've been going down there and throwing and playing fetch and training with her.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, there's no better way to train a dog. Get him with a senior dog that's good and calm, and you know, and man, he's just picking up so much so fast. So
yeah, we used to break in a lot of pups like that duck hunting with them with a senior dog.
Sure.
It'd be so funny, man, especially in teal season. It started raining teal everywhere, and them dogs would take you out across that pond, and that big dog would come running by that puppy with a teal in his mouth and just growl at it, you know. Like, go get you a duck, and that little one to go get a duck and follow the big one in. It's hilarious. It's fun.
Yeah.
Just turn them loose.
That's exactly right. Yep, that's it, man. I mean, they learn so much from each other.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's such a good dog, too, man. He's turned out to be a really, really great dog. And, yeah, so we're pretty happy with it all, ultimately. Well, yeah, we're going to try to keep from taking him to the trainer, you know, but we'll see. Yeah, so we'll all see how bad Mom will miss him. I don't know. But, you know, man, I mean, did you train your dog there at the house? I mean, did you take
him
to
a trainer? Yeah, I trained a few of mine. The best dogs I ever had is the ones that I would send to a trainer as far as, you know, they were really good with the obedience training. You know, with the sitting and staying and whistles and everything else. But, man, when you're a hunting guide, you just want a meat dog. You want one that'll stay in the blind. You tell it to go, you know, tell them to go fetch up and then turn them loose. Get those ducks as fast as they can. Get them back in the blind so you don't spook any birds and get another flock in, shoot them up, and send him out again, you know. But,
right.
Man, I've had the luxury of hunting over some unbelievable dogs over the years that other guys have had that were just, I mean, they were like robots.
Wow.
On their commands, and no retrieve is too far. I mean, they'll go to the end of the world. You hit them with a whistle and stop them and move them over a little bit so they can catch that scent.
Wow.
If they've got a good nose, they'll pick it all up on their own. They love the smell of that duck blood. They'll find it.
Yeah,
it's pretty impressive.
He's got that. There's no doubt. And I tell you what, man, that silver color is something else. It's he's pretty.
Yeah, I've seen photos of him. I've never been around one, you know, a live one, but boy, they look like beautiful dogs.
Man, they sure are. They, you know, it scares me a little bit. You know, I know if it's like he's out there in the yard, I know if, you know, there's always that chance. He's just that unique color that probably ain't going to be able to leave this one out of your sight for real long, you know. But, yeah, man, I mean, we haven't even started, you know, the irony of the whole thing is we live on the water, but up here in the old river, man, it's full of oysters. I mean, just solid, you know, from the right at the bank's edge all the way out. And
yeah,
I say all
mess
the way
her feet
out.
Up.
Oh my gosh, it's like a, you know,
like razor blades.
Yeah, we've specifically not been teaching them, you know, to jump in the water yet, just kind of deflect some of that, but it ain't gonna be long. He's gonna be in the water, so yeah, it's a whole other bag of issues. We're gonna trying to figure out how we're gonna either fence it, part of it, or just kind of keep him. You know, it's not bad on the floating dock. He get a little deeper. Of course, he'll be swimming. You know, not be in the mud, but the
he'll want to come up that bank when he swims in after he picks up the dummy, and he's gonna mess his feet up on those oyster shells.
Yeah. So, there anything that did you have done in the past or have seen done for oysters and feet for pups? And
man, I've seen guys try booties and everything, you know, them little slip-on deals you tie on, and man, the dog can't swim right, it can't walk right, it's not natural. And you know, the problem we used to have when we hunted, you know, flooded rice and stuff back in the day, sometimes that rice stubble, they'd get a stiff one and it would stick in their pads. And that'd give them sore feet big time. But when I hunted down south, the mid-coast, for a couple of years, I had a big Chesapeake, a female, and she was like a tiger. I mean, her feet stayed cut up, and you know, I'd rest her a day, and then, man, that second day, she's tearing the kennel down wanting to go. And I'd turn her loose, and it's like the saltwater healed them too, but you just never know when they go on a retrieve. They hit a little clump of oyster shells. It's going to cut their feet up. I mean, it's pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
Boil them out with peroxide and put Neosporin on them every day when we get in from hunting. And I think any other dog I had couldn't have gone through that. And the Chesapeake's a They're like a hunting a pretty mature hard grizzly, man. They're nasty. They're some tough dogs, boy. They smell tough, too. Let me knock this break out. I'll come back at you, buddy. Hang on a second.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. It's 4:35 here in the Bayou City. All right, Captain Naylor, we're back, buddy.
Back in action.
Back in action.
So to reiterate, though, we're booked up. We're ready to go to Cape Verde, South Africa. Fishing with Marty Bates and Addison on one of his boats. You know, it's really cool, this setup. Basically the Cape Verde, those islands right there, there's about four or five of them. So Basically it's a 5-day deal. You go out there, you fly over there, you the first night you get a hotel at Sao, which is the main airport I believe you fly in and out of, and he picks you up, you take off. And basically, they fish all the five islands. Basically, wherever the fish are biting is where they're going. And so each night, you know, depending on where they're at, they have different hotels and people in their network. And so they'll each night they'll go to one of the islands and they'll have one of the, you know, the boats come out and pick you up and take you in shore and, you know, stay at wherever the island that you're at closest to or whatever. So.
Right.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. I don't know why. Just that whole setup is just very, very new to me, I guess. So we're pretty excited. But yeah, man. I mean, I didn't know a whole lot about that, you know, as far as marlin fishing over there, you know.
They and catch kinda, the giants over there, man.
They still catch the grander. So the World Cup big fish has been caught over there at Cape Verde, I think the last 20 years or something. It might be even more than that, but at least 6 times in the last 20 years. So that's pretty substantial. The other big one is in Hawaii. The probably 4 or 5 times in Hawaii. So, but they're between there, the Azores and Madeira, and then Cape Verde is right. Like where the big grander marlin stay, you know, in that summer, late summer, almost early fall season. And yeah, I mean, like I said, it's should be a heck of an experience anyways.
Yes,
try it out.
Hey, you might as well jump on land too and go ahead and do your African safari while you're at it.
Right?
Do some of that Casey stuff.
Man, Casey, you know, I told him the other day, he was, you know, he's not going with us, but I told him we were going to Cape Verde. He said, oh, man, let me hook you up. I got a guy over there, you know, on the,
right.
You know. But that west end of Africa is really sketchy right now. So, you know, it's probably not the greatest place to be. Now you're flying kind of more of the central zone, I think. What Casey was, I may have misunderstood him, but yeah, he was trying to hook me up with that. I just, you know, by the time you fly down there, it's expensive, man. I mean, going to Portugal,
yeah.
And you know, it's a, you know, I guess nothing's really cheap in life, but man, you know, I don't have Casey money, so, and I ain't got, you know, Mickey Easy money for that matter. You know, I got
you got my money, man, you're in trouble.
Yeah, we'll probably make an annual thing out of it, but you know, we really wanted to end up in Madeira. Megan and I, actually, when we first got started chartering and stuff, that was one of our goals, is to make enough money, you know, to buy a house in Madeira. I know that sounds really crazy, but that's a beautiful place in the world, and it was very affordable, especially then. It may not, it's just like anything in the entire world, it's not getting any better anytime soon, but so we haven't, part of it's just exploring, getting to know that area and what all's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. And then speaking of Casey, so he went to Toledo Bend last weekend, went crappie fishing with a good friend of ours, Trent Allen. He owns a restaurant here in Freeport, and they did really well. Got to fish with that 3D scope, or that, what is it, the Garmin?
Yeah, the Live Scope.
Live Scope, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which he says is absolutely incredible. He said it's just incredible how you can just watch the fish eat your lure.
Oh yeah.
But man, I mean, when do the fish ever have a chance? I mean, this,
they don't.
It's just get by.
They don't.
Terrible. He was telling me, he said that their buddy, their guide, you know, they go and fish, you know, some trees or whatever, and he could tell them,
yeah, brush piles. These guys sink brush piles out there in the depths of water that those crappie stage, you know, after the spawn. And they'll all pull out on them brush piles, and you just pull up to them with a live scope and go, I wouldn't call that fishable numbers. There's not that many fish on it. Let's move to the next one. Then you pull up, and it lights up like a Christmas tree. You know, there's just fish all over it, and then you fish them.
Yeah. That's just wild to me. Yeah, he would tell me, they'd be on that tree, and he'd tell them, oh, you know, 1 foot to the right, and boom, he'd be right in the middle of them. And I tell you what, we, you know, last weekend, like I said, we were in Bossier City, and appreciate y'all sticking with me on that. I literally had a robot, a security robot, following me around, and that's why I had to cut it short, because I jumped away from him. But
that make you feel nervous? Was it one of those dog-walking kind, four-legged ones?
No. It was like a, it looked like a, it was a tall one. It was about 4 foot tall.
Kind of R2-D2.
Like R2-D2, right, exactly.
Security robots. Making, come on, man.
Yeah, it was. I tell you what, I mean, it surprised me. I mean, I think that would be a somewhat of a deterrent anyways, but.
Yeah, RoboCop.
Yeah, it was loud.
Step away from the vehicle.
But on our way to Bossier, though, last weekend, we have about 100 acres over in Noble, Louisiana. And so it's right across. It's kind of in the southern region of Toledo Bend, crossing over. And, man, I tell you what, for that, you know, that bridge going across, that used to be, especially on the Louisiana side, you know, desolate. There's maybe a little tackle shop. And, gosh, man, I mean, that place is blown up. There was... You couldn't put another bass boat. You know, they were in the tackle shop, and I'm telling you, I mean, they were mirror to mirror in that parking lot. I mean, all the way down the highway. They told me it was white bass season or whatever the season is right now. Apparently, it was going off. So
that's black bass. You know, bucket mouth season. Man, it's you know, people think there's a lot of pressure on saltwater, nothing like the lakes, especially this time of year. I mean, with all the tournaments and then just all the enthusiasts that target bass this time of year, it's pretty crazy, man.
It is. It really is. Man, I mean, it just blew my mind, you know, how many boats were at that one little tackle shop. I could only imagine all the way up and down the, you know, to the Bend, how many people are, I mean, just fishing that lake. It's got to be insane. I mean, you're right. It, you know,
it's
they're
a
making
giant
more
lake.
Fishing every day.
It's a big, yep. Bigger than Rayburn.
Sure is.
Rayburn, they call it the Big Sam. Rayburn's
indeed.
The biggest reservoir in Texas, but if you counted Toledo Bend, it wouldn't be. But Toledo Bend, half of it's Louisiana and the other half Texas.
Interesting.
Yeah, kind of like Sabine Lake is. Half the lake's Texas waters and the other half's Louisiana waters.
Interesting. Yeah. It used to be when I was growing up, my you know, our property is really like within a few hundred yards of some flooded timber that is part of Toledo Bend. Mm-hmm. And it was always when I was a kid, and I thought maybe I had it wrong, but I thought that they shared the lake. In other words, if you had a Texas license or a Louisiana license, as long as you were fishing.
Yeah, they have a reciprocal agreement on that lake. They don't on Sabine Lake. It's different.
Ah, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
Some years later, you know, we were out duck hunting, and they. You know, stopped us, and we didn't, you know, of course, we had our Texas license, as we always did, and that was apparently not how it works anymore, you know, and we ended up getting a ticket, but, or a warning, but, yeah, this thing's changed. The whole place is just blowing up like crazy, and it, you know, need to spend some more time down there, probably.
Yeah, there's there's just so many regulations on everything you do nowadays.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It is tough. And you asked me earlier when they'll announce snapper season, speaking of regulations, and it's historically right up to the very edge of June 1st. I mean, it might be 2 weeks before June 1st, maybe May 15th. You know, they're not real good at giving any kind of you know, a good clear path forward on seasons for any of the fish. So, and the argument is that it's, you know, because especially snapper now is being regulated, the population is being regulated by Texas. They say that that is what's slowing it down, the federal folks from actually setting the season. So, I don't know, man. Maybe they'll get better. Maybe they won't. I just know that the biologists and from what I'm hearing is that the fishing regulations are going to get stiffer, potentially, you know.
Moving forward. They have inshore. If you'd ever told me that bass limits would be more liberal than trout limits in this state, I'd have called you an idiot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought I'd see it. But it's
and yet they're still whacking them. Over there in Venice, 20 per person, I mean, just filling the boat. It's just full to the brim, you know, and they can sustain. I don't quite get it, but.
They don't have the immediate big city pressure on their fishery like we do.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I mean, the city of Houston, I think, has more population in it than the whole state of Louisiana, I think.
I believe it.
On that, but it's pretty close. and they have so much delta and backwaters and everything over there. It's hard to diminish those populations because there's so many places for those fish to hide. You'd have to live to be 500 years old to fish every inch of that water over there in
sure.
that state. I mean, it's a whole different animal over there. Now they don't grow as big a trout as we do, and I don't know what that's about. I don't know whether it's the genetics or maybe since the minimum lengths are so small that they can keep juvenile fish like that. I mean, there's pros and cons to it. I'm no wizard on it. I just know how to catch them and stalk them and all that. But it's a whole different animal over there compared to here.
Sure.
But
sure.
We're, you know, Texas is coming back. You know, it's always been noted for growing big trout.
And sure.
If we could just get this upper coast, Sabine and Galveston, to bounce back from all the adversities we've had the last 10 years that have pretty much depleted that big end of our resource. You know, we're kind of like runt ponds right now. We're growing new fish, and we just have to keep our limits low and promote catch and release till we can get that big fish fishery back like we had it. Because I mean, I fished the whole coast, and when Sabine and Galveston are on, I mean, as far as average size fish, big fish, and you know, mid size fish up, it was just, man, it was a great destination. People came from all over to fish here.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
And then you know the mystique of Baffin and Mansfield. I mean, that's a little bit different genetic fish down there. They're still spotted sea trout, speckled trout, but boy, they grow big down there. My gosh.
Sure.
Baffin always been, I mean, if you wanted to fish for that fish of a lifetime, and that's where you go and just stay till you catch one, get your personal best.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually talking to a friend of mine that came over and fished the lights with me the other day, and him and Peyton Harrison were fishing a lot during this last winter down toward not Baffin Bay, but you know, south of Matagorda there, and you know, doing the moonlight trips. And you know, he says that there's on average you can generally get a little bit bigger, you know, trout overall size, you know, average size, I guess you could say. And, you know, he had caught, they had a couple that were pushing 9 pounds, something like that. I mean, they had some studs, even up on the, you know, I don't know what you consider south of Matagorda, not necessarily the upper coast, but where is the upper and the lower coast?
Matagorda's kind of in between the upper and mid coast. They're kind of, I don't know, I'd call them upper middle coast.
Yeah, but it was good to hear, though. I mean, you know, that they were catching those size of trout. You know, they not as many numbers as they had in the past. This according to my buddy, not Peyton, but according to my buddy, he was saying that it was not as many as they did in the past, but still good size, good average sizes, and you know, of course, you'd have your good days where they catch, you know, 150 in the night, and then some of them, you know, it'd be. If you had to grind through them and get just a few, but yeah, I mean, to your point though, I mean, it's I've seen, you know, I see good fish being caught, you know,
right.
And like I said, Peyton's a great example. He fishes a lot, you know, for bigger fish, and you know, 5-6 pounds. I've been kind of watching like the West End Angler, you know, weigh-ins, that they're doing the digital weigh-in out in the water. And, you know, there's a few 6-7 pounders coming in. I mean, when you talk about big fish from back in the day up here in this upper coast, what would be a big fish, you know?
That 7 pounds are up. You know, that's what I call a big trout, yeah.
Wow.
A good trout's,
wow,
you know, 4 to 6, and then, you know, average 2 to 3 pencils, you know, pound and a half, 2 pounds, that kind of deal.
Wow.
Everybody has their own terminology.
7 pounds. What is the, I know, I'm sure I've asked you before, but what is the biggest trout you ever caught in the Galveston Bay system?
A 10-4.
Boy, that's a stud.
And I caught another one exactly 10. And then I caught one at Sabine. We didn't weigh it. I released it, and I know it was over 11 pounds.
Holy cow.
You know, fish of a lifetime for a lot of people, especially me.
Yeah.
I'm sure my whole career down at Baffin, I'd have a better personal best than that. But unfortunately, I was born in the wrong place, I guess. But no, Galveston used to be really good. I mean, I can't tell you how many trips we had where we'd catch, you know, 20 and 30 fish over 7 pounds in one fishing trip. You know, I did that so many times back in the day, and it's just fallen off due to all the adverse, you know, the adversity we've had environmental wise, and then all the floods, and the habitat loss is probably the biggest key to it. You know, we've lost 80% of our oyster beds, live oyster beds and everything. And it's just, we need a new pattern, a new cycle where we can get everything right.
Yeah. I remember, you know, back in the day, mid 90s, maybe, Dave Cadon telling me that he had caught a couple 11 pounders, and he was kind of fishing down south. Was he in Laguna? I can't remember if he was.
Man, I don't know, but Dave started out guiding up here. He fished with us up here.
I fished with him in Galveston. Every time I fished with him, it was in Galveston.
Yeah, Dave's great fisherman. And, he remembers when Galveston was just, it was stupid.
Yeah.
Real impressive.
He told me that he had caught a couple. And like I said, I think he was kind of sharing between north, you know, Galveston area and then down south, even at that time. He owned a business, too. I want to say it was like a cardboard, like a shipping container business, like a cardboard, some sort of, you know, what happened.
Well, he has a lodge there in Port O'Connor and guide service, plus he owns El Pescador Boats. And Dave's good people.
He's
from Baytown. He grew up in Baytown, where I'm from.
Yeah. He is. I've
been some pretty decent fishermen come out of Baytown, man.
Come on now. See, I mean, y'all are born the same area, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, how you ended up south and you ended up staying up north, but, you know.
Well, I didn't have any choice. I just, man's got to make a living.
I know that's right. That's right.
Making a living up here used to be pretty good, real good.
Yeah. Well, it'll come back around.
The calendar wasn't big enough for all the bookings that were coming in. It was just pretty nuts. Wow. All right, Jeff. Well, hey, man, I'm glad you got out of bed early to take my call this morning. And we'll talk next week, and hopefully the weather will change.
Yeah.
Stuff will start happening. It's just a tough time of year. You know, for the upper coast. It really is. Offshore and all that.
Sure is.
Well, if somebody wants to call you about some blue water stuff, give them some info, man.
Give me a call anytime at 979-417-1013 or go to our website at stsladventures.com.
All right, call Casey and tell him to get his lazy butt out of bed.
Yeah, there you go.
It's early.
He's up north. It is. He did take up some more bookings, a couple of other outfitters there for hunting down south. And so if you want to get involved with that, call me and I'll fix you guys up with Casey. So
I know you will. All right, brother. Jeff, good talking to you. You have a good Sunday. Take care.
All right. Do something.
Later, man.
Thanks.
All right. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.